Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions.
H.R. 3200, the health care bill, actually added an amendment called the CAPS Amendment, which says public funds can be used for abortion, and at least one plan must have abortion coverage in that public option plan. And everyone who participates in the public option, as they pay their premium, at least $1 and no more than $12 per month goes into this fund to pay for abortions. We're not allowed to offer what we call the Hyde Amendment, which basically says no public funds for abortion in national health care. They were going to try to shut down the rule, and the bill cannot come to the floor for a vote. We believe we have the votes. This bill's not going to go anywhere unless we have a straight up or down vote, which says no public funding for abortion in health care.
That's President Barack Obama and pro-life Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak with differing opinions about abortion and health care reform, especially whether or not the present bill, as it's being presented to our legislators, contains provisions for public funding of abortion. The president says, no, it doesn't. Bart Stupak, pro-life Democrat, says, oh, yes, it does, and it's not going anyplace if it does, unless they get a Hyde Amendment, which would explicitly say no public funding of abortion in health care reform bills. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start today's program talking to Kristen Day of Democrats for Life about abortion and health care reform. Then we'll continue our series on how modern scholars distort the Gospels with Dr. Craig Evans today, the world in which Jesus lived. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, September the 17th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or if you're following us at Twitter, our address @issuesetc. Kristen Day is a regular guest, president of Democrats for Life, based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
Can you break the tie here? There are Democrats saying no public funding of health care reform in the bill, and then in particular the president, and then there are pro-life Democrats saying, oh, yes, there is.
Yes, well, they're both technically correct, which may sound sort of funny, but Bart Stupak is absolutely 100% correct about the Energy and Commerce Bill, and is pretty clear about what the CAPS Amendment does. And, you know, we've been working with him to make sure that we address those concerns in the bill. And with respect to what the president said, you know, it could be taken two ways. He could have been making, and this is what we hope, a commitment to making sure that Bart Stupak's and our concerns are addressed in his bill that comes up, and that there will be no federal or public funding or mandates of abortion when the bill comes up for a vote and he signs it. So we're hoping that he will put a little pressure on the Congress to address those concerns with the pro-life Democrats, because really if the pro-life Democrats don't sign off on a bill, it most likely will not pass.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because Bart Stupak says he thinks, although he hasn't counted all his chickens, he thinks that there are enough votes to actually stop this thing in the House. He can't even make it to the floor if pro-life Democrats don't get an explicit exclusion of abortion in the funding.
Right. Absolutely. If you run the numbers, you know, we have about 20 pro-life Democrats signed a letter with Congressman Bart Stupak about a month or two ago, saying that they would not vote for a bill that contained public funding or mandating of abortion. And then you probably have another, you know, 15 or so that feel the same way. And then you add in the pro-choice Democrats who already have made a commitment to voting against the health care bill for one reason or another, and there just aren't the votes there to pass it right now. So.
So what's the solution here? What can – if the president's sincere saying no public funding, what needs to happen for this bill to gain the confident votes of pro-life Democrats.
Right. I think what Congressman Stupak was saying earlier, we need an up or down vote on Hyde and whether it applies to the health care bill. Because you know, certain people are saying it does, and other people are saying it doesn't. And we need it clear. We need some clarity in this, and a clear sentence that says no federal funds will be used to pay for abortion, and consistent with the Hyde language.
There's a very recently released Rasmussen report survey, and it says it's a telephone survey, finds that 48% of those surveyed believe any government-subsidized health care plan should be prohibited from covering abortion procedures. 13% believe that such plans should require coverage for abortions, and 32% favor a more neutral approach with no requirement in either direction. What do you make of those results?
Right. I think, most people don't want federal or public funding of abortion. And, there are some common sense solutions to addressing the concerns of the American public. And when you talk about several states have put in riders, so they prohibit putting abortion in the programs, but they do allow people to use their own money to buy riders if they want abortion coverage. And that's one solution that Mark Stupak was offering in the Energy and Commerce Committee, but they would not consider that option. But I think, truly separating the funds and making sure that the federal government is not writing checks to abortion clinics is something that really is necessary if we're going to pass health care reform.
What about the abortion industry, Kristen? Have you noted any pressure that they've been putting on lawmakers in order to get federal funding for abortion procedures?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's been their long-term goal, is to get federal funding of abortion. And I think one of the things the CAPS Amendment does is and will do if the pro-choice advocates pick up some more seats, then they're able to overturn Hyde. Every single plan in the country will have to fund abortion, and there will be government funding of abortion if Hyde is ever overturned. And I think that's another extremely important reason why we need that clear language in there, saying that tying the Hyde language directly to the health care bill.
Are you confident the pro-life Democrats in Congress can stand up to their leader in Congress, Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
Oh, well, you've seen the work of Congressman Bart Stupak, and there's another letter going out this week, or I think in the next week. With I think we have the same 20 on. I'll pick up a few more pro-life Democrats who signed onto the letter saying we want an up or down vote on Hyde. The letter's going to the leadership. Two other Democrats sent a letter today. Or yesterday, that's Brad Ellsworth and from Indiana, and Bobby Bright from Alabama sent letters today to the speaker saying we want an up or down vote on the Hyde language, and we want to make sure that abortion is not covered. So definitely the Democrats are standing up. I was just in a meeting with Senator Casey's office over in the Senate, and they're working very hard on the Senate side along with Senator Ben Nelson. So they are definitely, this is an important one, and they're standing up strong, and I'm so proud of each and every one of them.
Are you finding a trend, Kristen, that there are more and more pro-life Democrats to draw upon?
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting over the past two election cycles to see our numbers increase. We've been able to bring in some really good pro-life Democrats. Steve Driehaus from Ohio, I just saw him this afternoon, and he's one of the ones that signed on to the letter. And, he's fighting hard on the pro-life front. So, yeah, it's exciting to see our numbers in Congress and increase, and we're going to continue to build on those numbers and get more pro-life Democrats in Congress.
What other challenges do you think pro-life Democrats will be facing in the next few years of President Obama's administration, legislatively?
Legislatively, I think, the next thing that will probably come up is your abortion reduction package. And we've been really promoting and supporting the Pregnant Woman Support Act, which was introduced by Congressman Lincoln Davis on the House and Senator Casey in the Senate. And we feel very strongly that that should be the vehicle. There is another bill that had put a lot of contraception funding, family planning funding, and sex education in addition to what we had in our bill. And that's going to be another challenge to see which bill ultimately the president gets behind and supports and attempts to push through the Congress. And, I think for pro-life Democrats, it's going to be another challenge for us in making sure that a bill that solely focuses on support for pregnant women does not get bogged down over a debate on the contraception and sex education.
Are you concerned about a backlash when we get around to 2010, the midterm elections, that for standing up against the rest of the party and the president, the DNC might, I don't know, a backlash of funding in 2010 for pro-life Democrats?
I really don't. I don't see that happening. We work pretty closely with DCCC. Talked to somebody over there today about a new pro-life Democrat candidate running in Nebraska. Tom White, that I'm meeting with next week over at the DCCC. So I don't see a I think with Chairman Kane at the helm over there, pro-life Democrat, who we work very closely with him as well, I don't see a backlash on that front.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds.
Yeah, when you're talking about in the House, so maybe get some pressure in the House, but not as far as the election cycle comes up.
Then finally, with about 30 seconds here, Kristen, is it a contradiction in terms? Many people think it is. Pro-life Democrat.
Right. Well, we think it's very consistent, and I think probably the most consistent, because we support life at all stages, from conception to natural death. You can't get any more pro-life than that.
Kristen Day is president of Democrats for Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can find their website under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look for Democrats for Life. Kristen, thank you very much.
Well, thank you much. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, September the 17th, continuing a three-part weekly series we've been doing with Craig Evans. The general topic of the series, how modern scholars distort the Gospels. Today we're going to talk about the world in which Jesus lived. It has been postulated by modern biblical scholars that Jesus was of the school of cynics. It's a philosophical school of the Greco-Roman world. We'll explain what it is. And when they do their scholarship, these scholars tend to pull Jesus out of context to try and fit him in to these other schools of thought. We'll evaluate that style of scholarship with Dr. Craig Evans after this.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.